we are all here, or almost?
Except almost.
All right.
Almost. We'll start in just a minute.
Well, our penultimate candidate is here, and he's Mr. Regis Fletcher. And he has a great necktie, too.
Thank you.
So, give him just a few minutes.
Oh!
You can sit down and have some water.
Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Dad.
Good afternoon, Mr. Fletcher. I'm Nancy Black. Welcome, and thank you very much for coming to speak with us today. I'm just going to explain the process. You'll have 3 to 5 minutes to make an opening statement, and then there is a list of 7 questions. They're easy ones. we've asked all the candidates the same questions. There'll be some few questions from the floor if we have time. And then you'll have an opportunity to ask any questions about the role of a trustee in the system that we can answer for you. And finally, if you choose, you have 2 to 3 minutes to make a closing statement.
Okay?
So if you'd like, we can begin anytime you're ready.
Well, good afternoon, trustees, and thank you for having me. I am a little bit discombobulated. I'm coming from downtown St. Paul in City Hall, and I'm walking down to get my vehicle, and the wind is terrible. It blows all my papers out in the middle of the street, so I go and get them. And why I go and get them, I put my notebook and my car keys down, I'm chasing the papers. Then after I get the papers, of course, I can't find my notebook and my car keys, and I ran back to my office and had my office assistant scrambling through my office to find my car keys, and only if she couldn't find them, went back to the sidewalk, and someone had left put my notebook and my car keys on a step.
Oh,
needless to say, I'm a little discombobulated.
Give him a cookie.
Yeah. Take a deep breath.
Yeah. Again, thank you for having me. I'm not much of a good public speaker, and I didn't bring cards to speak from. I'm particularly interested in joining the trusteeship. I come from a family that has long valued education, and see that as a vehicle for sustainability, for growth, both for family, but for community and for our broader community. I've on a professional level, I'm a workforce and economic development professional. I've worked in the government sector in a number of areas, primarily in workforce preparation programs, but also in economic development programs, particularly directed at small business sustainability and inclusion. I've continually worked in efforts professionally and on the side to promote the economic interests of low-income people and people of color throughout my public career. I have worked with the Minsky system for a number of years, both as a workforce professional, but then also in my capacities in business inclusion. I go back far enough to remember prior to Minsky working with our local TVI systems when I first came out of college and using our TVI system, which at that time was managed through our school district system, as a main vehicle to get people prepared for technical jobs throughout our state. I was kind of a part of when the transition went through, and actually was I was young in the institution, but was one of the people that had doubts about the ability of our local system that now was going to be transferred to a state system, and had some doubts about what was going to occur. I can tell you from those days all the way up to the future, I've admired the success that Minsky has had. Currently, I'm on the Chancellor's Council, Chancellor's Community Action Diversity Council, of which we advise the Chancellor on policy and programs. I've been on it for about 5 or 6 years. My area of concentration, of course, was on low-income and minority students' participation in the system. I've always and believed strongly and communicated that preparation, access, and retention was critical for our young people to be successful. I've worked to communicate, to help communicate that those kind of factors into the decisions that we are involved with at the Diversity Council. I also believe quite in the need to weigh heavily the employer's interests. I see it, our training, workforce preparation programs, and our post-secondary education programs as the supply side of the equation, and our employer community as the demand side. I think that if, in fact, we get those in the right proportions, balanced, we cannot help but be successful in continuing the success of our state, and I recognize there are many challenges in doing that, particularly given the demographic changes that we're experiencing in our state, and particularly given the challenges that we have with the achievement gaps that exist. I believe that I can have promoted a number of ways that we can help and make those connections and turn those challenges, those particularly large challenges that we have, into true opportunities. Prior to being on the Diversity Council, I was also on the St. Paul College General Advisory Council that advises the president on policy and practices at St. Paul College. I was there for on that board for over 10 years. I was chair. I was able to participate in the transformation of that technical college into a community college. I was there also to lobby and work with our legislature to get significant capital improvements to our institution at St. Paul College, and I was also there to promote the Power of You, which I believe is a another tool that I think is very important to the success of our Minsky system and to the economic success of our state.
Thank you. I've lost track of... Representative Dittmer, I think it's...
First one?
Yeah, please.
Well, welcome. And please describe your understanding of the role of a trustee and explain explain why you consider yourself a good candidate for this position.
Yeah. Of course, I spent time up. Well, I've known of the trustees and the trustees, what their role is within the Minsky system. I know that they are providing guidance and advice and monitoring the system to the chancellor. I know that the trustees also are the face to our customers, be it both the students and also our businesses, into which our customers look to in effect translate their expectations on what they expect of the institution. What I hope to bring to the trustees is a knowledge and vision of both the on the customer side, both the needs of of our students, particularly our low-income and minority students. And as I mentioned, I believe that the connection there is preparation, and preparation meaning working with our K through 12 system and even with our early education system, retention, which is critical, and access also. Although I believe that the systems of access for our students, our low-income and minority students, are there. We have a where we need to work, I guess, more. I believe more is on preparation. In terms of our relationship to our demand-side customers, I've had a long-standing and worked in many functions where I have an understanding of our business community, particularly our small business community, and their needs. I believe strongly that our small business community is our real customer. They are the ones that are, of course, as many of you know, produce most of the jobs that are out there, but those jobs are so highly significant because they tend also to be the jobs that are contributing to local community stability and to hiring local people. And I have, as a result of my work in terms of business inclusion, a knowledge and a reputation and some exposure or some recognition to our business community. That primarily comes from my participation. Currently, I'm the vice chair of the Minnesota Minority Supplier Development Council. That's a entity that provides supplier vendors, diversity to vendor chains in the Fortune 500 companies here in Minnesota, such as 3M, Cargill, General Mills. We provide insights on how to diversify their supplier chains, how small businesses can, in effect, improve their bottom line, and also improve the stability and sustainability and success of our state as a host. I think that I bring an experience in an on the ground kind of relationship with our students. And then also with our business community.
Thank you. I'm going to skip to the third question because I think you've already answered the second question in great detail. So thank you very much. What do you see as the key issues on the horizon for higher education in Minnesota and for the MinSCU system in particular?
Well, I think that first, the resources. I think that therein is always a challenge. The challenge in terms of the resources that we would expect or to receive from our state government, the resources that we would expect to get from our population, our students. How do you balance what you need to be able to deliver a good service with the challenges that we have before us in terms of resources? There's a resource question there. I think a huge challenge before us is being purely directly connected with our employer bases so that we have a more strategic but a more practical indication of what our employers need. They are our ultimate customer. They provide the jobs for which we provide the our trained workforce. I think that needs to be clearly connected in a better fashion and improved upon. And I know that there's a major effort by the chancellor to engage the employer community to, in effect, get their critical input. The other side of the equation is that our workforce is changing dramatically. The demographics are changing dramatically. We're getting browner. We're getting a lot younger. And we have some serious challenges with our achievement gap I believe that we have to address that and turn that trajectory around. Our young kids of color and low-income kids are our workforce future. We need to invest in a system that it gets them at an earliest in age engaged in quality educational system. It's a major challenge. I think that there are a number of ways that are being fruitful at that. I think that our system is, you know, the early options represent tools that have worked in the past and are going to be working in the future. I think the Power View is a tool. I think that assisting on that preparation curve that our K through 12 partners and our early education is worth our investment. I know from a practical standpoint how much we spend from my experience with St. Paul College and my experience on the Diversity Council, how much we spend in remediation. Mm-hmm. And that's a tremendous expense to the institutions and the systems that we know. It's also a tremendous expense to our students because, you know, ultimately they pay a big chunk of that and off their grants and aids and loans. Mm-hmm. So I think those are the challenges, our resources, our demographic changes, the achievement gap, and then also connecting to the fullest extent with our end-use customer, which is our employers.
Thank you. Well, you have covered a good deal of this next question that we're asking the same set to everybody, so you're kind of stuck with this. But you might have some other comments to add. Anyway, here it is. Describe your understanding of diversity and your experience working with diverse populations.
Well, yeah.
If you don't want to, if you want to just go to the next, you're very welcome to. It's just up to you.
I touched on a number of areas, but I think that we've got to think out of the box in terms of working with our diverse populations that we have. I think we need to engage community-based organizations that are engaged with our diverse populations that are out there. I know that we've had great success in the city of St. Paul and with the department that I'm with in working with our local Inver Hills Community College, with our St. Paul Fire Department, with the foundational community, to create a program to provide access to minority youth and women to the emergency medical services. Mm-hmm. Professions, where we've customized courseware directed at young low-income kids of varying ethnicities to get them in a customized training class to get them to through get their EMT certificates. Yes. and get them placed on jobs. That required a customized training program. That required summer wraparound social services to make that successful. And it also required resources, of which we redirected some of our local workforce summer program money to support identifying demand industry, which EMT and the medical related, safety related areas, how we can make those.
Has it worked? Has it been successful?
Oh yeah, thus far we've graduated 55. This is our third year. We got a class in now. We've graduated 55 young people, women. And people of color. Prior to that, our entire system, Minsky, was only graduating on less than five per year.
Wow.
That were low income and were women. And we graduated 55 in 3 years.
That's
these people have moved on either into additional further education or they've actually moved on into jobs.
Yeah,
some of them are working for some of our healthcare providers now. Diversity is diversity exists. Our ability to recognize and that diversity and take advantage of the opportunity that comes with that diversity, because we're becoming such.
Becoming
a diverse population. Again, it's that demographic. It's that demographic change. Half of, even more than half, 60% of our EMT graduates, English is their second language, and this is a critical need, particularly in our inner cities, in terms of emergency medical services.
Well, thank you. That was great. That was great information.
Yeah.
Okay. What is your vision for maximizing access to educational opportunities for students?
Maximizing access. Well, I think to maximize, I think maybe I touched on it. I think to maximize access, we've got to help work on that preparation, particularly, again, for our changing demographics, our growing brown population, and with the achievement gap, we've got to work at helping that group become prepared to enter our system. We've also have got to ensure that preparation is good. Access, I think that the system is working at creating financial access. But we, with that, and I think that the Power View is an excellent example, at least in the urban cores, I think we need to probably extend that out further, where we can get around some of the financial barriers that our people do. I think it's critical also that we access is part of it, but we've got to deal with retention of our students. Particularly our low-income students. Retention is a problem with our general population, but it's even more of a problem with the new incoming students. Then finally, the access, I think, too, is connected to the end result. People are going to school and getting an education with the idea they're going to get a job. We got to have something connected at the end throughout this entire system. We can make all the access, we can do all the preparation, improve our preparation strategies, but if in fact we're not training or getting people into the jobs that our economy needs, then it's all kind of like not for naught, because we still, we're still going through learning and providing people with skills. But I think a big part of access is that we have to know why we're getting people, we're improving our access, how that connects to them getting a job, and how that connects to our employers being able to take advantage of that and do the things that they do.
Describe the unique challenges of a system comprised of technical, community colleges, and state universities that you see.
Well, I think that the system that we have in Dominsky is your perfect world. I'm old enough to remember when the world was different, when our technical systems were separated. We have the ability, Minsky has the ability to be the bridge for our community. For our students, we can be the bridge in terms of community technical, getting people into technical schools into our 2 years and our certificate programs. But we also are the bridge for people to prepare to go into a 4 year and more than 4 year degree program. That's unique to have those things connected together. It gives more options to our young people. It gives more options to our employer community in terms of what we're bringing out, what we're bringing into the into the workforce system. I think also because we've joined them together, we also have you know, in effect, continued to have, we've been successful at that, and therefore continue to have labor well represented in terms of our educational plans, particularly skilled labor. That is a critical function and continually will be in the future. And our technical programs are what our business community needs increasingly, and we're adaptive. The system that we have is flexible. It needs to be flexible, both on the technical, well, particularly on the technical side. We also, within that system, have the ability to customize training, and we have the ability also to service the new to enter the educational, post-secondary educational system, but we also have the tremendous capability to exist with workers who are already in the labor force and can be trained. Employers can use us to upgrade their skills, and they do use us.
Very good. Thank you.
The last preset question. What could be perceived as a conflict of interest for you in a trustee role, and how would you handle that situation?
Well, if in fact there appeared to be, if I knew that there may be a perceived, or there may be a conflict of interest in something that the business of the trustees that I was involved with, I would certainly let the trustees know, and I would recuse myself. If there's a gray area, and there's plenty of gray areas that come out, again, I would let the trustees and the chair know that this gray area exists. I would communicate it clearly, and we would talk about it, and we would reach agreement on whether this gray area is maybe not so gray, and maybe I recluse myself out, and or maybe I go forward with it. But I believe that the critical portion of that is that I inform the trustees of the of why I'm recusing myself, or why potentially there is a gray area.
Thank you.
All right. Does anyone have a question, Sonia?
Sure. I can do mine first. Within the role of trustee, much attention is given to the University of Minnesota and the Minsky system here in the Twin Cities. But there are greater Minnesota outstate institutions that need equal attention outside of Twin Cities and its politics. How would you assure equitable attention to those institutions in greater Minnesota?
Yeah. And I know that dilemma. I know that from the Chancellor's Diversity Council, because we have representation on that particular council from a number of the outstate, both the college, both the community colleges and the regular and the technical colleges. I think that I need to understand. I think the trustee needs to be knowledgeable of what the situation, but it's not only knowledgeable, but to understand what the specific needs are of the outstate institutions. They are as much critically a critical element of our overall statewide economic health as the big ones, the Big Ten in the metropolitan area. I think that their needs tend to be a little bit different. I think that they do get overshadowed because of the nature of the size, and we happen to be in the metropolitan area. But I think that for our own health as an institution, we need to we need to hear them. We need to understand, we need to be knowledgeable. We really need to understand their status. And Sarah?
Yep, thank you. Okay, are there other questions? Okay. Would you like to make any closing remarks? I'm sorry. I'm getting tired. Yeah. We started early. I am showing all the candidates the packet from last month's meeting of the Board of Trustees. I don't know. Have you ever attended a meeting?
But I went up in the clouds and watched a couple. Yeah.
Yeah. We want people to know, as trustees, the expectation and the sacrifices they might have to make. And it's a wide range of material you're expected to understand and help lead the system. And it's everything from budget to professor emeritus policies. You know, it's really, it reminds me of the legislature a little bit. You know, there's just so many things, so many areas you need to know. At any rate, the meetings now are 9 times a year, and they're 2-day meetings. So we, I'm bringing this to scare people if you have second thoughts, I guess. Are there any questions that you have about the role of a trustee that we could answer?
Not at this point. I mean, I didn't fully understand some of the committee structures and their responsibilities. I kind of got an idea, but I'm not, you know, I can spend more time on that at a later date. And I look forward to having the opportunity to participate. I am at the top probably of my career. I have some time. I'm going to have more time in the next few years. I'm looking forward, if that possibility arises, to participate. I did have a question about the process, at least mm-hmm. the process that I'm involved with now. What are the next steps?
Sure. We're interviewing 15 candidates. We can there are 4 openings. We can recommend between 2 to 4 candidates for each of the 4 openings. And we are only an advisory committee, which means the governor can take us up on our recommendations, or, as has happened quite a few times in the past, they reach beyond the council's recommendations, just being honest about it. So the timeline is quite short. The terms of the trustees expire the 4 June 30th, and we understand from the governor's office that he would like to make the appointment so they can start right away. So, okay. Yeah. Would you like to make any closing remarks?
Well, I feel that actually it would be a privilege to be a trustee and to also work with the other trustees in terms of this. In terms of this institution and this system, I believe Minsku is perhaps the most critical institution in our state in terms of ensuring economic growth and stability. We're the ones that are going to produce our human capital. We're the ones that are going to be working with our business community to ensure that that human capital meets their needs. We're the ones that need to fine-tune that so it does work for the benefit of our business community, which will make for the benefit of our entire state to be successful. I've had the opportunity, really. I mean, one of the things that doesn't show, I don't think, on my resume, I've had the opportunity really to live in a number of different cities and a number of different countries, overseas, and some different cultures overseas. I think that our system, in particular, our educational system, is phenomenal. I think that the asset that we are in terms of Minsku is huge. I think that I know for a fact I don't see it elsewhere in the country. You have different things going on in different parts of the world. But this unique status that we have in terms of being a bridge for all and a bridge for our end users to deliver what they need is truly a real asset. I'm a firm believer that our communities, our state, are great, and they'll continue to be great. I'm a firm believer that this country, as I said, I've been in many other countries. I've been in a couple different cultures. This is a great country, and with great opportunity and great access to which there's none to compare. And I think we're still a very young country, and we're on our way to be perhaps the best country that the world has ever seen. And I think that starts locally, and it manifests itself and very clearly with our connection to human capital and educating human capital and taking advantage of it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.